On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Let's do this!
A swing and a belt! Left field! Way back! Blue Jays win it!
Oh, God! Down the sideline! Wow! Touchdown!
Unbelievable!
Trying to finish it!
It's over!
Here's a chance! That call! Shot rebound! Score!
It's Tall Can Sports.
Flaccid entry.
Rob's here.
Almost never seen.
Really.
The hard to pull off flaccid
really
entry.
To see Rob today.
Woo!
It's a good day.
It's awesome.
To be a hockey fan.
It's really delicious, to be honest with you.
This is TCS 395.
It's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
This is the, you try it, crack it open, give it a go.
I'm going to need several of these.
This is the smoked honey from Royal City, which I find to be
fascinating on first pull.
Really? Is that where you're going?
Fascinating.
Are you getting honey off of that or?
No honey off of that.
You getting any smoke off of that?
No smoke off of that.
What's happening here? Did anybody really think when they were naming this?
I can't believe there was more disappointment brought to my fucking day.
Leafs lose.
Oh, that's delicious. It's, you know what? I sort
take
of.
Take it and run.
I watched it unfold sort of from a distance. From a distance. As I was, you know, totally caught up in the barn burner that was a 3-0 Montreal defeat of Ottawa.
Yeah.
So
Jim Houston's announcement midway through the third. We'd now like to welcome Ottawa and Montreal fans with raging erections, laughing hysterically to our broadcast as the Leafs trail.
Yes, gripping those erections at the base. Yes, it was, watching this unfold as they said, They outlined the whole emergency goalie thing, and then the first two goals go in, and there's outrage across the NHL that how could you allow this to happen?
An MLSE employee.
Yes. A guy who is an actual employee, he gets to go in a game that the points are crucial for both teams.
Well, we've had the points rounded off here recently, so I wouldn't
Looking at Hot Rod Brind'Amour. Rod the Bod could not have looked more.
When the second one went in, he's just shaking his head like when it's your kid.
Yeah.
When you're coaching the kid's soccer team and your kid is the fucking worst.
Well,
but your wife won't let you pull him.
And so when he skates out and then he first goes to make the move maybe to the right and he's like, oh, no,
that's
down here.
Not my net.
I'm down this way.
He's wearing a Leafs helmet.
And so the first two goals go in. And people are like, this is outrageous.
Yeah.
How can you do this?
Yeah.
And then that's it.
I was screaming that later.
Yeah. Well, and the beauty of this is,
tell me what's beautiful about this. I'd love that.
As I look back at it, so, and I'm not sure the exact time frame of when Mrazek goes out, when the he was the second goalie, right?
Yeah.
Reimer went down first.
Yes.
He gets pushed in by dirty bastard Hyman. Yep.
Yeah.
That happened.
Okay.
And then I don't know what Mrazek is doing that far out.
He's an idiot.
Yes. To me, it's...
Tell me, before we do the rest of this thing, that's not a penalty.
Yeah, no, I don't believe it's a penalty.
On Kyle Clifford.
I don't believe it's a
penalty. He's clearly flying. He's staring at the puck. He's not looking for the goalie out at the face-off circles.
And he certainly isn't cartwheeling away on a hit that he expects to give or to be taken out like that.
Right.
So, no, I don't believe it's a penalty either.
And that power play would turn out to be fucking important. Anyway.
And so... Yeah, see, I was in the middle of a diatribe here, and you've now derailed me.
Okay, that first.
I know. Welcome to your world. Yes,
no,
I
know. Reimer comes out 5 minutes in. Mrazek comes out. I think there's 8 minutes left in the second period.
And it's 4-1, I believe, at that point.
It's 3-1, and based on Clifford colliding with Mrazek, they get the power play, score on that power play to make it 4-1.
Yes, and this is where I'm going with that is, so at that point, I just went back this morning and I was looking at, after watching SportsCenter and the highlights, and the country is giddy with the David Ayer or whatever his name is show.
Ayers,
and it's just he's the cause celeb of the moment.
Put on Twitter last night. He after his post game interview, he seems like a really nice guy. Fuck him.
Yeah, well, he's from Whitby, right?
Fuck anybody.
Whitby, Oshawa, right? That drunken area. Most drunk drivers per capita. Can I drop that stat enough on this show?
Sure. No idea if it's true or not, but just keep throwing
my
it
Uber
down.
Driver in Whitby told me that was true.
Sure.
He would know.
Of course. As one of them.
Have you looked at the shot totals in the second and third period of that game?
Yes. They smoked us.
They had more shots in the second period alone than you did in the second and third combined.
Yes.
In a time when it should be
eight shots after the kid came in. The kid, he's 42 fucking years.
So you had eight shots in the second, seven in the third.
Okay.
Like you got a chance to reset and go, pin the ears back, boys.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go there.
Well, that is worth mentioning. Before the goalie debacle, the Leafs were already shitting the bed. They were playing terribly. Now, we always have issues in matchups with Carolina. They defend so well. Like, it's not a good matchup for us. But they were schooling us before this happened.
So they have no Hamilton.
They were also on the second half of a back-to-back.
And Pesci left the game.
Yes. At the same time. On the Leaf power play goal, he left.
I blame Zach Hyman for that as well.
Okay.
So it's one of those things where you go, you guys, at this point, infinitely skilled.
Oh, you guys.
Infinitely skilled lineup, right? Puck transporters, mobile defensemen.
Mm-hmm.
You got your starting goalie in that. Oh, and he's...
Dewey?
Yeah, he is awesome. I see that he's helping you in the pool this week, big time.
Yeah.
And
yep.
You guys can only generate seven shots in the third period? That's gorgeous. Gorgeous.
I'm very rarely, especially, like, I watched the game by myself last night. And even publicly, I talk about the game with people, sometimes I get, but I'm rarely the guy who yells at the TV, especially alone.
What are you doing?
And last night, there was a moment where Tavares, I believe, is carrying it in the third. And he tries to carry it through three people. It doesn't work. They circle back. Justin Hall gets it back to him. He gets in and again tries to make a pass through this completely collapsed box in front of the Carolina net. And I, like, stood up from the couch. Fucking shoot it, you idiot!
And if you don't mind,
I'm sitting
he does
by
not
myself.
Like to stand up at all. If he's seated, that's it.
And I'm by myself. I'm like, and I sit down. I'm like, okay, you need to. Bordering on...
go get another rum, Matt. Get another rum and Coke. This is so fascinating. So fascinating. As a guy who, in our pool, I've had Marner all season. I've traded for Austin Matthews, noted Leaf hater here, but thinking, the guys are going to bring me points. Guys are both pointless in a dash one last night.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, this is the time of the season where shit, it gets crucial.
The Leafs folded under Carolina's adversity.
Mm.
That's what happened last night. Carolina had a shit hand dealt to them, and the Leafs folded.
The word was they folded like a cheap tent in a light breeze.
I refused to click on the Craig button fucking review.
A cheap tent in a light breeze. Well, and you know what? But what he used, what Craig Button used in that moment as a springboard into his comments was Jake Muzzin's comments, which were, yeah, we don't like things hard. We like things easy. And when things get hard, it's difficult for us. True or false?
What? That you said that?
That you agree with that or disagree with Muzz?
I have no idea what's happening in the room. I'm not going to sit here and defend what happened last or this team right now. Because, look, I'm the guy who keeps going, yeah, but under Sheldon Keefe, the record is what. But we're going on like 5 weeks now that they're bad. See, they're in February alone, they've had, I believe it's 6 games now where they've given up 5 goals.
See, we didn't have a show after the shellacking. Well, a week ago, the Buffalo game, followed by the Pittsburgh game, which was an absolute shit tanning.
Right.
And then you go, all right, you have, and you and I have exchanged emails. Yeah, the old-fashioned way, ladies and gentlemen, via the email. Mm-hmm. And saying, yeah, that back-to-back game was going to be an absolute watershed moment, right? Do you start Anderson? Do you start Campbell? What do you do?
Right.
What's happening, right? You've come off of a couple of
plasterings. With Pittsburgh.
Yep, yeah. That's what I just said.
Okay, but on the Saturday, Sunday, they actually played back-to-back, so I'm clarifying for
okay.
the good listener.
Yes, so but as we worked from the Sunday game, which was a back-to-back coming off the Ottawa game, into the first Pittsburgh game, into the second, and you're like, man, you guys are sliding. You were life and death to beat Ottawa on the Saturday,
mm-hmm.
right? You lose those, I don't know, Buffalo scored 16 goals in 3 minutes, whatever that happened there.
Pretty much.
And then you roll in and Pittsburgh puts up a 5 spot and then sort of coasts to that 5-1 win or 5-2. Mm-hmm. Whatever. And then you go, all right, what's going to happen here? What's going to happen here? And then everyone was like, hey, relax, everybody. Anderson pitches a shutout. Mm-hmm. You put up a 5 spot of your own. Mm-hmm. And everything is...
It's fine. We're
Shangri-La.
Fine.
And so you're like, okay, the Leafs have now, you know, played enough with the fans' emotions. We're going to roll in here to this beauty game on Saturday night, hockey night in Canada.
Yeah.
Coast to coast.
Let me ask you something.
Yeah, man. What do you got?
If we lose by the exact same score, because we were already on our way to getting our asses kicked.
If you lose 6-3 with Mrazek in net?
Yeah. What is the conversation today? Because they still played like shit. They sucked all the way through the game. Start to finish. And Sheldon Keefe said in his post-game comments that he told the guys when the emergency goalie went in, he goes, if you don't change the way you're playing, it doesn't matter. They don't need a goalie. We're not making plays. We're not getting shots. This changes nothing unless you're going to get something done.
Yeah.
So is it just another, like, you'd still be pissed. Like, to me, it's unacceptable, but it doesn't, like, it's humiliating. Like, only Leafs fans can be humiliated. But does it really change anything, right? Like, that's the, there's all
it
kinds.
It does of, change.
Okay, yes, because you should get up, and even if you can't make plays, you should be able to get to the top of the circles and just beat the guy a few times, right? Like
the final shot, and I don't know whether it was Hyman again of the game.
No, it was Kyle Clifford.
Okay.
With like 1 second left.
Fades to the left, then just sort of wrists a shot on net, and you're like, to me, that was like, that right there speaks volumes.
Well, I think Bruce Arthur, I think, was the one who tweeted out like midway through the third, David Ayers, quickest chest in the NHL.
Yeah.
Like, that's where the Leafs just were.
That guy's got rock solid positioning right there in the breadbasket.
Right.
Okay. Right. Good to go. And you're like, this is NHL?
Right. And so Carolina, they did exactly what they should do. They collapsed hard. They protected this guy. They dug in. But we had power plays. And I saw someone else again crediting, and I was snarky as fuck last night on Twitter, as you're going to be, but saying full credit to Carolina. I'm watching Leafs trip over the blue line. I'm watching Marner fall down for no reason on the power play. You're going, what is happening right now? That's not Carolina's pressure. That's not, that's us shitting the bed.
Yeah.
In the most sloppy, wet shit kind of way.
See, and as I said to you, to me, the difference is
post burrito night.
Oh, I love a burrito. Okay. I love a burrito.
Okay.
The idea is, and the difference is, if you lose 6-3 with Mrazek in net, defensively, you guys have problems.
Yes.
There's issues, right? And so you go, the six spot is no good.
No.
Nobody should allow that, but that's got nothing to do with the vaunted talent up front, right?
Keith put on the bench for the last 5 minutes.
Well, and when you,
fuck you guys.
And this is what I'm saying is you can generate only 7 shots in the third period against a guy a guy who's got to be shitting his pants.
Yeah.
Right? Put the pucks on net. Use what you have to get.
But don't you think there's a certain amount of, look, they were shitting the bed.
I would have sent William Nylander right to the edge of the crease because that's the go-to. That's the money right there.
0 shots on goal against this guy. There's a 2-on-1. Kapanen and Engvall coming in, and they go to the sweet cross crease. Just shoot it. You haven't been able to get shit across the hole. And, of course, he misses it and fires it. I felt like at times they were like, okay, now we should go do what we do, right? And that's get pretty. But if you know Carolina at all, what they do is shut that shit down. Like, they're very, very solid and extra motivated now, right? Like there was a moment when the Leafs made it 4-3, right? They score on 2 out of their first 3 shots against the guy. You're like, oh, fuck.
I thought it was the first 2.
I thought it was 2 out of 3. Doesn't matter. And you're like, all right, like, whatever. It's 4-3 going into the third. And then you give up, you take a penalty early in the third and you get scored on again. And I'm like, that's it. That's the game. Like, I saw people online and I haven't mentioned it yet. Our trade deadline show tomorrow, you and I are going to, you know, be on air Monday afternoon. Steve Warren coming back in, formerly of the TSN Morning Show, now of the Steve Warren Project. And he'll tell us all about when he's in here. He's got a new project of his own, the Sens Nation podcast that he's starting up. He was putting out there, what's the over-under for the Leafs in the third? And he set it at 6. Are you taking the over or under? And I'm like, man, it's so under. Like, and that's not just being a Leaf fan.
Sorry, what does that mean?
Will the Leafs score more or less than 6 goals in this period?
Okay.
Because they just scored 2 at the end
of the... Sorry, what's the... Oh, yeah.
So, but in my head, I'm like, this guy did play Junior B. I know that's what... But it's not some guy who's never played before. He knows how to at least drop to a butterfly. You know,
right.
I expected the Leafs to get, you know, 2 or 3, maybe 4. But I didn't expect the floodgates to just open, right?
Well, like, see, at the first two the first 2 goals go in,
yeah,
I'm expecting the Leafs get a 10 spot.
Dawned on me. And it's not even that self-loathing Leaf thing. It's just, you know, they're not going to... We saw it with Scott Foster, right, in Chicago. These guys, they're emergency goalies. They don't belong in the NHL, but they don't just flop around and fall over. Like, they can at least drop, and if you're not perfect...
Right, and he does practice work with the Marlies and with the Leafs,
I believe.
That's
right.
But he hasn't really been active as a player since 5 years ago playing in the Allen Cup.
Did you hear how his last game, Junior B game in the Allen Cup went? Gave up 11.
Okay.
To an Allen Cup team. Leafs couldn't get 3 by him.
Yeah. But this is what I certainly have been talking about for how long we've been doing this podcast. Something about this team looks sackless.
Well, you've said you don't like the way this team is built. That's not the same as...
It looks like it lacks spirit.
Well, maybe. As a part of the fan base, we keep getting ours stomped.
Crushed. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's all I'm saying is you see Marner afterwards and he's saying it's all I take it all.
Shit.
Yeah, I take it all on me and yeah, right, man. We get it and we love that. We love to hear that as fans. But talk is cheap.
Yeah.
Like you better come out. And they have a big week, I believe.
Tampa and Florida.
Now, honestly, Tampa's hit the skids, man.
Well, this is the other thing I wanted to bring up. So on the same day, Pittsburgh loses to Buffalo. Washington loses to New Jersey.
Also two teams hitting the skids. And Pittsburgh's in first in the Metro.
Yep. So
what?
These are shit teams beating good teams. Boston goes out to Vancouver and gives up 9 and gets pounded. And the Panthers lose. So if you want to, you go, in terms of the Panthers thing, this never happened. But you did
sure.
Piss away an opportunity to gain another. Like, it's not as simple as, you know, we all just stay where you could have created some distance. But no, you didn't fall behind. So
right.
If you want to, in that regard, find the thinnest fucking silver lining there is.
Yeah.
You're going to go out to Tampa after that?
Yeah, the Florida
trip. Where's your confidence?
The Florida trip is hard. Right?
Yeah.
That is a back-to-back, or usually it's...
I think it's Tuesday, Thursday for
okay,
us. I
but you do hit that sort of... It's a tough stretch.
Yeah. And what are you going out there on?
It's tightened up in the East, right? Like, if you looked at... It looked for a while there almost like the top three only out of the Atlantic were going to get in. That looks less like a possibility. Florida's crept right up there. Everybody's
the sixth place team in the Metro this morning has more points than the third place team in the.
You are looking at that 70-74 yeah. point range, right?
It's, yeah.
It is tight in there, and everyone's play got sort of between 19 and 21 or 22 games left. It's not impossible, but the reality is, you know. This team can't continue to play
no
like this.
Well, and so I said online last night, and I caught some shit from it. I'm not doing anything at the deadline. I'm not giving up. So, you know, some of you will be listening to this on Monday, deadline day. Maybe this is already out of date. I'm not necessarily selling, but I'm not buying. Like, this group hasn't earned that you go out,
but you
give
almost,
up.
You almost have to sell to buy.
Yeah, but I'm not buying. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, yeah, and really I'm saying, yeah, sell or buy, right? You have to do both.
Well, maybe. Depending on what you do with your LTIR and when Riley and CeCe and all this stuff. Like, they're in some weird fucking waters here.
But both those guys are coming back, they say, within a week or so.
Of the end of the season. Like, in a week or so of each other, not in a week or so of right now.
Well, they were saying March.
End of March.
Okay.
Anyway.
That's a big month, eh? Somebody should tighten that up.
So, I'm not giving these guys anything. Like, you wouldn't go out now, take your swing, and bring in your whatever top four right-handed defenseman and give up 2 draft picks and Timothy Liljegren. Like, they haven't earned that. If you could get a placeholder for Barry, who's unrestricted, and, you know, like I said, we're going to do the whole trade deadline thing tomorrow. I'm well aware that as we sit and record this, there are rumors flying everywhere that he's already out the door. We don't know that right now. So we'll get into all the trades tomorrow. All I'm saying on that front is they showed me nothing on Saturday that would lead me to spend assets to improve the team for a run this year. They haven't shown they're taking a run this year. So I'm not selling it all. You're not blowing it all up. People calling for, you know, huge change. If that's going to happen, it will be in the summer. You can't do that in 2 days, right? Like, you don't make big deals like that quickly, I don't think.
Right. And are you shocked by that kind of realization that you've clearly come to over the past, I don't know, couple weeks, month?
Yeah, I said on an Unforced Errors, the last one that I did, this at the time reminded, and that's probably 2 weeks ago now, this reminded me a lot of Tampa 16-17. That's the first year that the Leafs make the playoffs. Tampa's biting our heels all the way at the last minute, but it's Kucherov and an AHL team. That was the year they were devastated by injuries. Nothing went correctly. That's when you first started hearing about Braden Point and Yanni Gord and all these, because they had half the fucking, I think it was Rochester as their call-up team. I could be wrong.
Syracuse.
It is Syracuse. Kucherov and a bunch of guys you'd never fucking heard of. Everyone was, and you just go, you know what? That's a really good team that nothing went right this year. And there was a moment there a couple of weeks ago where I thought the Leafs might miss. And part of it was going to be the points you pissed away under Babcock, but all the guys that have been hurt since and had bad years and whatever, you go, maybe this is just one of those fucking years and you don't react too much to it. And I still sort of have that, but they're back now and they're healthy now. And this is still the kind of effort that they're putting out there. And so I don't know what kind of bad fucking juju is in that locker room right now, but I'm not doing anything that jeopardizes any more of our future to salvage. Like, yeah, in theory, it's possible they still get in and go on a run, but you got to get through Boston and Tampa with how you're playing. Man.
How much longer, how much further into this season do you need to go before you don't say the points we pissed away under Babcock versus the points you pissed away under Keith?
Well, we're getting there because, look, I specifically looked this up this morning. It's still eighth best record in the NHL since Keith came in.
Okay.
But much of that was 12-4-2 when he first came in. And now the last 5 weeks are like an overtime win here and a shootout win there. And they have only like two regulation wins in their last.
Ottawa was, I think,
was at one point
was their only regulation win. And then there's a Pittsburgh one.
Right. So you're kind of like, I'm getting there. This team is now, I'm not firing Keith. I'm not firing Dubas. None of that stuff. In February, this awful February, they're still at, 52% expected goals and 53% court. Like, everything still seems like it should be fine, but they have a sub, 850 save percentage. So are you just getting sewered by horrible fucking goaltending, or is it more than that? It is more than that. The defense is bad, but is it – we've been missing our number one defenseman for the last 2 months.
And on a team that doesn't have a stalwart defensive core.
So I know it sounds like I'm making excuses, but you do have to lay out the facts too, right?
Yeah. But I wanted to counter what you just said with the fact that you look at that 5-1 loss to Pittsburgh back sort of Tuesday of last week, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, 5 goals on Freddie, but 4 of those were not Freddie's fault.
Right. That's like, right.
And so to me, you go bad goaltending versus bad structure, bad defensive zone coverage in front of them, and power plays, and bad penalty kill.
Well, our power play is still killer.
No.
Power plays for that.
For the other team, sorry, yeah. When you're losing 5-1, I'm not talking necessarily about your power play.
If we could get one.
Yeah. No, this is well, and hey, as Ottawa fans know, when you chase the puck, you don't get power plays. And so, but to me, yeah, I'm not sure I'm willing to put the lion's share of blame on Freddie.
He's having a terrible year for him. A terrible year. Even with the defense in front of him.
Yeah.
Morgan Riley is not, when he comes back, he is not locked down. Yeah, I don't even know who we're talking about.
Craig Ludwig.
Right. Sure. Shut down defense. Scott Stevens. He's still a rush the puck. He's kind of dangerous.
Sure. Well, your whole D is built that way.
But at least he's get it up and out. Right.
Get it up. Yeah,
we just couldn't.
I agree. Well, for sure.
Flaccid entry.
And so to me, flaccid entries. But that is, to me, this is what we talked about. And you can say Dubas doesn't get fired, but man, if this team struggles out of the gate next year, are you pulling a Babcock situation at that point and saying, this is on you, Milhouse? This is like, you now have your team, you now have your coach.
I don't know what else... To me, this is in the room.
You can't steal your way to a cup.
Well, I don't know that that's what they're trying to do.
Oh, that's absolutely what they're trying to do.
No, okay, for sure. They want to play the up-tempo, run and gun, whatever.
But Payson, in your face.
Everything, when you look at what he has done since Lou left, it was having to dig us out of Marleau and Zaitsev, right? And then he brings in Tavares, he brings in Muzzin, he brings in Barry. These are things that you go, at the time that they're happening, you're like, yes, fuck yeah. And here we are, and it's not working. And like he, there's video of him like in the box.
Yeah.
Well, after the sixth one goes in, where he just like throws his hands up, just turns and walks out. And if I'm him, I don't know what else you wanted differently out of him. I know you don't believe in the type of team he's building, but to me, this is more personality than type of player. Like they're not doing, like they showed on Thursday, they can fucking do it. Or at least I thought they did. They played really well against Pittsburgh, and then Pittsburgh went and shit the bed against Buffalo. So did they hit the skids, or did the Leafs shut them down? That's up for debate, right?
Like, yeah, well, it's a combo, right? It's,
yeah.
It's clearly a little bit of both.
But you just chose not to. Like,
see, I loved Tyson Berry till I saw him on a regular basis.
Yeah, well.
You look at him, you know, you see him every once in a while when he was in Colorado, and you see him as Eastern viewers, right?
Yeah.
You see what you see of Western players.
Yeah.
And you think, you look at the stats line, you look at all that stuff, and you go, yeah, that's a guy who can. But to me, as I said, he is too much of what you already had.
Well, we didn't have any of that on the blue line.
Well, and what is that?
Right-handed players who could skate the puck. We still had Polaks and Zaitsevs and CCs and
Marinsons,
for fuck's sakes.
Yeah, okay. But what you did have was guys who thought it was a bit of a Chinese fire drill in their own end.
I'm not going to back away from any of the fact that I was all in on Dubas's plan here.
No, I know. And
I'm not shying away from that, especially after just one shitty night.
The lines are drawn.
Yeah, for sure. I look at nights like last night. I look at nights like Tuesday or Sunday of the week previous, the Buffalo and first Pittsburgh game, and I go, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what you thought was going to happen here. And I look at the team on paper and I go, that's a really good fucking team. So why don't they look like it? Yes.
Yeah. Well, and see, and how do you reconcile that when you say you've got the manager, you've got the coach, and you've got the players they want.
Yeah.
And the style of play they want.
That's why I think it.
I'm saying, how do you reconcile? Yeah, those things that you just said. Yeah. What did you think you were going to get? Well, this is what you get.
No, it's not.
So, but to me, the player is more than just standing there in the sweater with the stat line. It, of course, is. It's personalities, man. That is such a huge part.
It's hard to put together what's happening here. When you look at the statistics and it looks like it should be going better and it's just not. There's, like I said when I brought up the Tampa 16-17, is this just one of those years where everything that could go wrong has gone wrong, or is this team flawed at its core?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
Yeah, this team is flawed at its core.
Okay, well,
And would you feel better if Austin Matthews shaved that mustache? Or do you think that is some kind of voodoo?
I think that's the curse. The curse of the stash.
Because to me, you listen to him talk and you're like, I don't even take you serious with that stash. And then your sort of sullen personality, I don't take any of that.
Right. I have a feeling, look, the Zamboni drive, and I love that it was AHL.
I know. Let me ask you one more thing, and it's something that came up, and it's a legit question. It's not, I'm not poking the bear here.
Well, the bear's dead. Poke it all you want.
I know. But when you have the amount of young guys that they've heavily invested into,
yeah,
and I'm talking about from Matthews to Marner to Kapanen to Johnsson to Nylander to all these guys, is this just a fact or a situation where you have these talented guys, and this in this day and age where you're paying big money to guys coming out of entry level contracts because they are supremely talented,
mm-hmm.
but haven't learned how to really knuckle down and do those pro things to win a cup, Ovi, right? Those sorts of things,
well,
right? That the Leafs maybe still have that opportunity.
The Caps were too soft and could never win until they did.
Okay, but what I'm saying is, yeah, the age of the guys that are so well compensated.
Maybe.
And that this is in a couple of years when they take more of these, they learn the Yzerman, you know, theory, yeah. right? That sort of thing where you go, yeah, are you going to play for you? Or are you going to play for the crest, right? You're going to play to win, or you're going to play for your cookies and the dollars?
Right.
Right? And so we now talk about it, and we clap, and we go, Steve Yzerman, what a great guy.
Right.
What a leader. What a winner.
For the first decade, he was a fucking dog.
For sure. And then they said, yeah, we're going to trade him for Yashin to Ottawa.
Right.
Right? Those sorts of things, right? But the story gets rewritten.
Yeah.
Right here in Ottawa, Alfie's a legend. man, for the first decade, people were like, that guy's hurt all the time. You can't win with that guy.
Right.
And then he became so clutch.
Yeah.
Right. And so I'm asking you really and giving you, throwing you a life preserver, Matt.
What I would say, this is now, what, the fourth year for that crew? Caps and two Boston series. Yeah, this is your, should have learned more by now. And we've seen.
Slow learners, Matt.
How much time did we spend talking about, oh, it was great that they brought in Marleau so that they'd learn. Hainsey, so that they'd learn. Polak, so that they'd. Well, did none of that fucking work? Or did they not want to listen? Or
any problems with Johnny T as a leader? Not vocal enough?
I don't know. We do this all the time. And my big thing has always been Mark Messier, greatest leader in the history of sports. We have no fucking idea. He mouthed off once to a reporter and said, we'll win the next game. And now we decide he's... We have no idea what happens inside these locker rooms.
No. To me, the thing with Messier is he wins that cup in 90 after Gretz leaves and then goes to the Rangers and wins a cup for the first time
in 50 years. So is he a really, really, really fucking good player or is he a really fucking good leader?
Yes.
Yeah. So we don't know. And so I don't... Look, would it make me feel better now and then if he'd go and smash his stick over a crossbar so that we go, okay, he's mad too? Sure.
Over Matthew's shoulder?
Sure. How about over CeCe's?
He's already out, man.
Whatever.
He's already dead.
Up to the press box and give him a whack.
Exactly.
I don't know, man. I would think...
It's a drive-by fruiting.
This many years in, there should be more, you know, there shouldn't be so many nights like this.
Matt has rejected the life preserver.
Yeah. No more excuses. I just think it's fucking complicated. I don't know what we're looking at.
I don't love you anymore and you don't love me. It's complicated. It's not complicated. You just said it. I don't love you and you don't love me.
I don't love you anymore. Caught you cheating with a whore.
Why? Just because you're cheating with her doesn't make her a whore. Yes, it just makes her better than you.
She's actually a whore.
Okay. Well, all right.
Yeah.
Has money changed hands?
Well.
Because if money hasn't changed hands, she's...
I think my favorite part of the whole fucking story, man, is we bring it back to the fucking Zamboni driver. Is that everywhere, the outlets all keep saying minor league Zamboni driver. Like, forget what he is as a goalie. He's not even an NHL caliber Zamboni driver, and you lost to him. He's an AHL. Yeah,
he's at the Rico Center or whatever they call
it. Coca-Cola Coliseum man.
Rico Coliseum, Coca-Cola Coliseum.
The Coca-Cola Coliseum would have been. That's an opportunity missed.
Yeah.
And you're just like, Carolina shut us down, and we played like shit. So it's hard.
Shut us down.
So it would be hard to get. I just think. This is the thing that we now hear about forever. It was 4-1, 1967. You lost to your own Zamboni driver.
It's the ghost of Harold Ballard. I love it.
Is this, because this has been the talk on Twitter. So many people, this is the worst loss in Leafs history.
Ah.
And my only comment underneath when Ian Mendez, I think, was the one who posted that question and started commenting, I said, that's a long ladder to climb, man.
And there's a pile of losses in there.
That's what I'm saying.
Yep.
I think this is one of the most humiliating.
It's humiliating.
But I don't know that it has the same devastation as it was 4-1 in a game 7 in a third period with 10 minutes left, right? Where you're like we were already down. You go, yeah, they put a fucking sieve in goal, but... We were already losing.
Yeah, but it's why can't you, why couldn't you have?
Just shoot it.
I know, but I think you got outshot in the third period.
Yes.
10-7.
Yes.
31-15 over the final two periods.
And even if you forget about the whole goalie thing, we gave up 47 shots to Carolina, who played the night before and traveled.
And not a vaunted offensive juggernaut.
And that is sort of what they do. They shoot from everywhere. But 47 on a...
All right. So now that we have sort of, you know, dragged the corpse through the streets.
I got tons of questions last night, even. Rage pod tonight? Rage pod? Like, I just said, no pod tonight. Have no words. But Captain Blowhard will be here tomorrow, and I'm sure he will have some.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was delicious. It was delicious viewing. the flip side is, you know, now that we've cleared that, and you look at the story that this is for that guy.
Yes.
Living the Canadian dream.
Sure.
Right?
Good for you, man.
And I love that everybody loves, if you know, if this was Winnipeg, right?
I love the Scott Foster thing in Chicago. I go and watch that YouTube video every couple of months.
Right.
And now it's a guest my team. Yeah. Like, fuck that guy.
And I loved, you could hear after when that, you know, final, if it was Clifford that shot that sort of hits him in the crest and he holds it.
Yeah.
And Houston says, you know, and you can hold on to that puck, David.
Right.
And the crowding of the Canes players.
Oh, they were feeling it, man.
In the crease. And they were like giddy with, like, they sounded like peewee players, right? They're squealing and laughing and
on our ice.
Yeah, well, okay, but that's nothing.
How about Jake Gardner being on the other end of something humiliating at the Air Canada Center?
Did Jake Gardner take a dash five last night? No. Look at that. Sweet. Life is good. See, he needs the Bozak, you know, get out of town.
Yeah.
Things are better away.
The Canes have put together some really cool videos of when this guy came back into the locker room, the treatment the guys gave him, the speech that Brind'Amour, you know, gave afterwards.
Rod still looks like he can play.
Fucking does, man. And Reimer, you know, is the guy who went out and he's spending some time with him because, you know, the Leaf guys at the whatever, and they're giving him, like, they're talking about how they're not allowed to pay him because he signed an amateur. You know, the players took care of him, even if the Hurricanes couldn't, right? Like,
yeah.
And they're selling, they call them jerseys, you know, the t-shirt jerseys.
Yep.
With his name on them. Like, within minutes of the game being over, the Carolina Hurricanes Twitter account has one up. And so they're going to give the, you know, some of the proceeds of that to him. And he had a kidney transplant in 2004.
Yeah, I saw that.
And so they're working with him to find, like, a kidney foundation or a kidney charity to donate some of the proceeds from that too. But like the Hurricanes are always on top of that stuff. Like within minutes of Don Cherry calling them a bunch of jerks last year, they were selling bunch of jerks.
Hey, what do you say?
Right. So they've been doing an awesome job with it. And listening
the
to
the North Carolina governor is saying,
make you an honorary citizen.
Honorary citizen.
So, you know, it's fun. It would be more fun if it wasn't against
team. I was just going to say, if you could remove yourself from
it's a cool story. It's fun. And the Leaf fans in the building, in between booing their own team, were cheering him when he's making saves. And I think the first save he made in the second period, he kind of like half fell over on the puck and managed to like keep it under his ass. And they're giving him the big cheer, right? So, and he said in his post-game interview, a few of the guys came by and tapped him on the pads during warm-up or after, you know, the first one or two went in. He said, you know, guys would skate by and like, man, you're never going to have a moment like this again. Just enjoy it. We don't care how many you give up. Like, this isn't on you, right?
Right. And well, you saw him leaving. I think it was between the second and the third when he's going off the ice. And it's Carolina guys tapping him on the pads, but it's Leaf players,
and
too.
And Freddie went by, gave him the glove tap. Yeah. And
is Freddie 31?
Yep.
Yep.
So, you know, good on him. But fuck, it sucks when you're on the other end of it. That's all.
And great story, though.
Sure.
And as you said, when he came in, so he gets a game star, and good on the Leaf fans who stuck around, who just took the story for the story, right? They gave him a lusty cheer when he got, now I'm not sure who gets a 800 save percentage and gets a game star.
Well, Down Grows Brown tweets right after the game that, you know, he finished with an 800 save percentage. The Leafs have had five nights this year where they got sub 800 save percentage.
Well,
Jesus.
Yeah, and they were talking
about...
This
guy's now ahead of Hutch on our depth chart.
Frank Cervelli saying that, I don't know where I need to put him on the trade bait board. Right? He goes, well, you're looking for goaltending. Yeah. Hey, this may be your guy.
But I like him. He's got like some like low-key ego to him or something. Like when they did interview him after the game, he said, like, I knew I was really shaky when I first went in, but I told the guys in the second intermission, he's like, just don't let me get peppered. I'm going to be better for you. I'll settle down.
Yeah, let's go win this.
Yeah.
He's got a little...
There's something about him that gives me kind of
a Larry Walker feel to it. I'm not sure what it is, but...
Actually,
it,
on Leaf Twitter, they were saying he looked a lot like Tim Thomas.
Well, he looked like Tim Thomas in his uniform. I thought that this morning, too. I'm like... Man, he's got that sort of pyramid shape to him, right? Which was very Thomas-esque.
For sure. So, you know, if you can remove yourself from it and...
I have.
And the humiliation of being a fucking Leaf fan. I don't think this even registers on the worst games in Leafs history, but it's real high on the most humiliating. Well, you've just got to be able to separate the two.
I have low grade burn from the heat coming off of and the shame and the red facedness that you have going on over there.
Yeah, man.
I'm loving it. I'm living large here, enjoying that.
Let's talk about another goalie before we do. And like I said, this is all being recorded on Sunday afternoon. We're real close to the deadline. We don't know what's happening out there. We will talk about all the trades that go down immediately after the deadline. Rob and I will be in studio with Steve Warren. We'll go over all of this stuff in terms of trades on Monday afternoon. So stick around for that. In the meantime, I want to talk about Carey Price for a minute, who has started 15 of 16 for the Dead in the Water Habs. And I wonder...
Well, don't tell them.
Well, even they got to know by now, don't they?
No, they were out there wheeling around the Correll Center Ice last night.
Sure. Love that.
Yes.
The Palladium.
Welcome to 1996.
Right. You've got him locked up until he's 38 years old. He's played 15 to 16. He's battled injuries. I don't know if you can do it because of the PA, but would you not tell him now, go sit down, or at least you're going tandem with one of the young goalies in the organization?
Well, I was
going
to say, with who?
Well, I think have...
Caden Primo?
Yeah, I thought they were pretty high on him. I'm not, but I thought they were...
Well, Belleville keeps going down there and rocking him in Laval, okay, so
well, fair enough.
I'm not sure.
I don't even know that I care who it is. I just don't want to risk this thing that's already kind of bubble wrapped and, you know, got my franchise is riding on this for another 7 years.
Yeah. The problem is, and they talked about in sort of 3 and 4 nights, having to trot him back out because it's a home game, that fan base down there is at this moment not willing to throw in the towel. And they don't want to see in a big game on a Saturday night not have Price in the net. So I think they are, in the words of, and I can't remember who said it, right? But if you start listening to the fans, you start sitting with fans.
That's right.
And so to me, that's what Bergevin's doing. And, you know, through Claude Julien, that's what's happening here. When you play 15 out of 16 games and you are still just treading water, they are listening to the fans.
So you don't think there's any chance they start to ease off on him,
at least
till they're mathematically eliminated.
Yeah, I believe that. And I see Detroit now was the first team to be mathematically eliminated from the playoffs.
In 63 games.
34 points.
They are mathematically eliminated. First team to be eliminated before the trade deadline since the 03-04 Penguins. And the earliest a team has been mathematically eliminated from the playoffs since the... Are you familiar with this?
Ottawa Senators?
Of?
94?
95, 96 Ottawa Senators.
Some bad teams in that range.
Sure. So
93 through 96.
Games, you're mathematically out. And the Habs have lost all 4 of their meetings with those fucking Red Wings, which is, holy fuck, there's your season right there. 8 points just pissed away.
They have a team that's infinitely punchable.
The Habs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All across their forward core, you're like, that guy needs to get punched. That guy needs to get punched. Like, that guy needs to get punched.
What are they? Like, Max Domi's got 2 and 17.
Well, he scored 2 last night.
Well, there they are, I guess.
And that was it. So they went into last night's game with Deneau,
yes.
Drouin, Domi. But they're just the number of guys who have gone 15, 17 games with 1 goal.
Yes.
Now, again,
it's not a good team.
Domi off the hop there last night. Thank you very much, Ottawa, with 2 goals. But yeah, they're not good. They're not good. They're fast. Everyone talks about how fast they are. But you know what? With a team with any finish, their goaltending is, I mean, their defense is not great. They had Carl Alzner in the net, in the goal on D last
Love
night.
That. Welcome back, buddy.
Yep. Hey, he's part of a decor that pitched a shutout. So.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, they went, I think, at 1.8-2 and gained 1 point in the standings.
Yeah.
It is so hard this time of year.
No, it's true. And even, you know, we did that with the Leafs when they did their 15-4 and whatever run under Keefe when he first started, but they lost 2 in a row right at the end, and suddenly they had gone from 10th to 8th, and you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah. And the thing in Montreal is they're not great. They're loving some of their prospects. They got a couple guys in the NCAA, I believe, at Northwestern.
Well, and they got Cole Caulfield coming.
Yep. Who's absolutely hit the skids in the NCAA. Had a great start.
Right.
But to me, they are in a spot where you go, are we making it? Are we rebuilding? No, we don't know exactly where we are. And they are living in that.
And if you can't decide really quickly when you look at a team, are they trying to win or are they trying to rebuild? Then you're in trouble, right? When you got to be able to look at quickly and say one of those two things. I don't know with Montreal. They're certainly not rebuilding.
Well, and everybody says, that team that slides in and finishes seventh or eighth in the conference and makes the playoffs, gets smoked in the first round and you're out. And you go, is that enough for you?
Right.
No. Well, this team isn't even making it into the playoffs this year. And you keep going, what? Now, they had some terrible injuries,
yes,
right?
They did.
Domi was out. Drouin was out. Gallagher was out. Weber's been in and out. Apparently, according to Nick Kiprios, career ending.
And then he was on the ice 3 days later.
Yeah. Sorry about that, Nick. Yeah. So I'm not sure. To me, this team is in, a bit of disarray. I expected them to be better this year.
Yeah.
But sadly, that's not the case.
So on Saturday, Ovi gets to 700. He had gotten to 698, kind of hit the skids just a little for a week or two to make everybody wait for it. He gets 700 in New Jersey. The Devils crowd gives him the big ovation, which is kind of cool. I saw a great tweet during the Leaf game after David Ayers comes in going, if Ovi was in this game, he's catching Wayne tonight. but he's now 184 or 194 back?
194.
So, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this because you and I have had this discussion several times. But every time he knocks down one of these landmarks, you kind of go, I don't know, man. And he still looks pretty fucking good. But 700 puts him amongst elite company. I think there's only four or five guys.
How many of the guys above him can you name?
Luke Robitaille.
Nope.
Are you sure?
Positive.
Okay. Then I'll edit that out. No. Wayne Gretzky.
Correct.
Mark Messier.
Nope.
Yeah.
Points, not goals.
Well, then what are we fucking talking about? Goals, man.
Messier doesn't have 700 goals.
Okay. Jaromir Jagr.
Gretzky, Jagr.
Yeah.
Yep. And Gordie Howe.
Okay. That's all I'd...
All right, we're gonna edit this whole thing.
No, I'll fucking leave it. I'm out here swinging at it. I have no idea.
Okay, the top three, Gretzky.
Yes.
Howe.
Yes.
Jagr.
Right.
You then have, in no particular order, Brett Hull.
Right.
Phil Esposito.
I had no idea Esposito.
Mike Gartner.
I knew Gartner was in there, so.
Oh, and Marcel Dion.
Maybe that's the king I was looking for.
Seven guys ahead of him. Rob Christie.
Nails it. Throwing it down.
Yes, exactly.
Dunking all over you.
Yeah, postering Matt right there.
I wonder, do you think once... you keep knocking these down. Does it get more and more in his head? Like, I was talking to somebody the other day, and let's say he decides, I want to play my last season or my last two seasons back in the KHL, which we've heard before. I have no idea if it's true or not.
I don't believe it.
Would you play until you're 38 or whatever it might be, and then leave for the KHL knowing you're only 17 back? Like, one more year with just an average season of 20 gets it done? Do you think this is important to him?
That wasn't the feeling I got from him in his post-game comments.
On hockey night?
When he said, it was weighing on me a bit. Or he goes, I knew it was going to happen. He goes, but it's sort of, and he goes, now we're on to the next.
Right. So, which is what he's supposed to say, right?
You playing in an era where it's much harder to score.
So much harder.
Have scored
seven. You and I have both said over and over, greatest goal scorer.
He is
ever.
The greatest goal. He's not going to catch Gretz. I don't believe that.
And every fucking couple of weeks, I just go.
Hey, and if you're looking for a bold prediction, he may not break Howe.
Okay, I think he's going to fuck it.
That's 101 goals, and I
don't think he's getting 101 more goals.
Okay, I said bold. Okay. I didn't say smart. I didn't say...
You're hoping someone goes Tonya Harding on his ass?
Well, he is 34, soon to be 35, whatever the deal is. And you are talking about that's three more 33-goal seasons.
That's easy enough.
All right, but I just think it's going to get so much harder north of 800.
But if he could put up 50 next year, 40 the year after, and then just coast, man, 2020.
You think he gets 50 this year?
This year? Like the one we're in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
He's got like 20 games left. I don't think that's going to be a problem at all.
I think he's got 18 or 19 games left. But yeah, I agree with you. I'm just saying we expect him because
they're on a skid too.
For sure they are. And they've fallen out for the first time, I think, in most of the season. They've fallen out of the top spot.
Like their record's super comparable to Toronto's in the new year. They were sitting in first, so you don't have to panic, whereas the Leafs were life and death.
But right? As I was looking at the standings this morning, right, I was surprised to see Pittsburgh in one.
Yeah.
Especially when I had them at five.
Right.
At the beginning of the season. So it is one of those things, right, where you look at it and go, I think it's going to be harder and harder and harder for him to continue to – we just expect people to – if you extrapolate out from today and go – yeah.
No, I don't at all. I'm Mr. Fall Off, right? Don't sign anybody over 30. Don't whatever.
I am actually Mr. Fall Off.
Mr. Brightside. Yeah. Mr. Fall Off. Yeah, but I just think because Washington is going to hit the skids hard in the next couple of years, right, when all those contracts catch up and they have to rebuild because they've traded away so much, they'll let him stick around and get 20 for the last couple of.
And I don't think that's going to be the case. Right? You think he's going to be Chelios?
I don't know that he's going to have to play that long.
No, that's another 10 years.
Right.
Right? Which means he only needs to get
20. But how long did Jágr hang around? He was still pretty useful into his 40s in Florida playing with Barkov and those guys. And
yeah. See, but he had the one sort of mirage season where he was up around 30 goals, right? But beyond
begging
that.
Begging people not to vote him into the All-Star. Well, this is it.
But you remember looking at his stats and you're going, he had a bunch of seasons of 19 goals.
20. Yeah, he sort of lost interest a little bit.
For sure, right? And I'm playing because I owe this, you know, the IRS. I'm doing I'm doing a bunch of things here just so I can break free. And then I can go back over and play for Kladno. And
still doing that.
Make a half a million euros
slash
or whatever
owning,
it is.
Slash
yeah, exactly. Slash GMing, whatever.
Taking tickets.
Yes, exactly. Whatever, man. I'll bring popcorn to your seat in between shifts.
Yeah.
But I think it just seems at 194, at 34 plus, you look at it and go, the game is just going to get faster. And I wonder what we marvel at right now is that he still does skate so well. And he still, as a big man, guess what?
Yeah. No, it's going
to
break down.
He's going to have Gary Roberts living in his living room, right? To just sort of keep him fit and on it for the next 5 years.
And part of it for me, though, is everyone has known for like more than a decade now what he wants to do on the power play, and no one stops it. He's just standing there on the inside of that one circle.
You saw the year they won the cup, right? People are saying, yep, we're going to get right out.
Yeah.
And they had Oshie in that bumper spot right inside between the circles. Bam! And he was so effective there. You're like, okay, you're going to take that away, that cross to Oshie? Yep. I mean, to Ovi?
Yeah.
Bam! Right on Oshie's stick.
Right.
And you have literally half a second as that bumper guy to get rid of that puck.
I remember watching a game not too long ago. It might have been the beginning of this season. And it's 3-on-3 overtime, the Leafs and Caps. And Washington gets a power play. And so Justin Hall is the right defenseman who's supposed to fucking stay on Ovi, who's now going to stand there uncovered while they just repeatedly set him up. And three different times he blocks Ovechkin shots from like that have just been.
Yeah.
And I can remember talking to my dad after the game going, that is maybe the worst fucking job in the world at 4-on-3, right? Where he's got all the space in the world and you know that's your whole shift is they're going to try and set him up and you're going to try and get in the way. You're just standing there being fucking mowed down.
I'm
going
to take a couple of those in the trousers. Right. I know it. It's absolutely the case.
It would be the mental game, right? Like, oh no.
Turning my ass. Right. But then afraid I get it in the low back. Yeah, there's nothing about that that's good. Can I take it right in the meat of my ass? Yeah, we're good. Yeah, I think as you've suggested, we've talked in the show, right? As they've committed now, they've re-upped on Backstrom, which is important to him.
Yep,
and I mean Ovi by him. Just as this team starts to age in the next 2-3 years,
yeah,
and it leaves it's sort of.
I do think they're going to tail off, but that's why I think they'll be able to let him do this.
Well,
that will be the reason for Cap fans to keep coming.
But again, as the team is no longer fleet of foot and it
won't be as easy.
It is going to be hard, right? And the goals will become more difficult. And you're looking at 25 goal seasons, right? How many of those you got to put through?
Should we bet a pint on this?
We should absolutely bet a pint on this.
Either Ovechkin retires or he gets the number. That's how we'll...
I'm saying he doesn't get the number.
Okay. I'm saying he's doing it.
But I am still saying...
We'll pay that off in 6 years.
Yeah, I am still saying at 700 goals right now, he's the greatest goal scorer.
He is the greatest goal scorer of all time. On Monday afternoon, we'll have Steve Warren of the Steve Warren Project, formerly of TSN Radio here in town. I'm not sure how long I'm supposed to keep hitting him with that tag, but for one more show, anyway.
It's also Steve Warren of OSR. It's also Steve Warren of Team 1200.
Yeah.
Right? Or I'm sure he'd like to, if you go far enough back, he's like CKBY out of Smith Falls or Renfrew, wherever it was.
Yeah.
True, I'm not sure how far back he'd like you to go in his bio. Warren of Cockburn Street in Richmond.
Oh, you hate the Cockburn.
That's for sure you do. A little penicillin.
So he will be joining us again to break down everything that happens on trade deadline day, or more likely the huge move that the Leafs make the second we turn off the microphones here. He's giddy to come in and speak after the I spoke to him briefly after the Leaf game, the Zamboni driver, and he said he wasn't sure he'd have the wind to get on the show after dancing for quite as long, because he's not a big fan of old Bluey, as he likes to call
him. Well, he's involved, I believe, what did you say, it was the Sens
Nation podcast. They're firing up. So check out at Sens Nation on Twitter as well for more info on that podcast. We retweeted it on our feeds at Tall Can Audio. So we'll get him to run all that down for us when he's in here tomorrow. So that'll be kind of cool. We did intentionally stay away from those deals that have already been made this week. We'll wrap it all up. Winners and losers kind of thing.
Losers!
On Monday, right after the deadline, we'll be in studio. So look for that at TallCaneAudio.com or wherever you get your podcasts. In the meantime, we'll wind this one down and get the hell out of here.
See you tomorrow.
We're not going to be fucking sucked this year! Yeah!
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at TallCaneAudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.